The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the Dublin Central and Galway West by-elections will take place this coming Friday. We will be covering the by-elections in detail. But first off, we said we would take a visit to each constituency to see what voters' main concerns are. Our reporter, Joss Crosby, was the man for the job. He's been to Galway, meeting with locals, and he brings us a special report today covering some of those issues. Joss, just to listen, or to give listeners some context here, describe the Galway West constituency, because you can kind of divide it into three parts, really, can't you?
Yeah, Shane. So first off, this is a large constituency. And one of the most unique factors, I suppose, of Galway West is that it's both urban and rural. It spreads from Galway City all the way out west to Connemara, taking in the Gaeltacht and the Aran Islands. So there's a real mix of voters there in a vast catchment area to cover. A candidate could be out canvassing, knocking on doors, and 1 minute it could be talking about city traffic. A few doors later that evening, it could be a farming issue. So real unique constituency. And look, I'm sure many listeners will be aware this by-election is taking place due to President Catherine Connolly being elected back in October, leaving her seat free. It's a five-seater constituency, and right now there are 17 candidates all bidding to be elected this weekend. I've been around the area meeting with various groups and campaigns. We'll hear from them shortly. But just to start us off, I spoke with people in different parts of the constituency to hear what matters to them.
First of all, I think Galway is a great city to start with. That's the wonderful thing about it. It's very diverse, which is really wonderful. But the renting here is practically impossible. The purchase of any property is impossible. So that's why I've just bought a house in Tipperary. I can't afford to buy a house in Galway, and I'm working in Galway. So that's really the hardest thing, I think, for people is just to that people returning to Ireland from overseas after 30 years like myself. To me, I really resent spending 3 hours of my day in the car just to come 23 kilometres and then to work a full day afterwards in the health profession.
What we need in Galway is for the by races to go out of Galway. Where I live, they're very close to us, and every Friday, Saturday night, they're always around where I live, and I work. I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're revving the cars up till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I ring the guards, and all they can do is we'll get someone there as soon as we can. And I ask politicians to do something about it. No one's ever got back to me.
What would you like to see the candidates prioritise if they were to be elected?
Traffic and the ring road in Galway, definitely. It's a constant issue, constant hassle. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, there's been no progress. Now, it has been announced, that's good, but it'd be great if it was done in, I suppose, ample time.
Obviously, the ring road's a big thing now. That's got pushed in, so that's great. But I'd probably say just housing. Like,
have you found it difficult yourself?
Yeah, we're living in out in Athenry at the minute, and it is just crazy. Like, prices are going, there's no houses for sale. Like, I work in property myself, and house prices are just going up and up and stuff, and there's less and less rents.
There's a lot of things, I suppose, could be improved. Traffic is the big issue. They're putting bicycle lanes in everywhere, and we're going over.
But the ring road must be welcome news.
Well, I don't know, is it going to work at all? It's a long time coming, we'll see.
So traffic anyway will be the number one for you when they come knocking on the door?
Oh yeah, and hopefully they don't come knocking on the door.
Okay, no surprise there, Josh, that housing featured large there. I'm sure it'll be the same in every constituency in the country. Is there, though, a unique housing challenge in that area, do you think?
Yeah, Shane. So look, as expected, it's no surprise housing would come up. But a part of this constituency covers the Gaeltacht. We are hearing more and more from Gaeltacht regions across the country about the effect the lack of housing is having on their communities. I was in West Kerry only a few months ago covering this, and it's the same situation there. When you have a lack of availability in these areas, and with so much of the supply, I suppose, being swallowed up by short-term lets, it's having a knock-on effect on Irish-speaking families remaining in the area. In March, there were protests outside the Dáil on this very issue, and one group in the Galway West constituency that's highlighting the housing needs in the Gaeltacht is Bonnu. It describes itself as a housing pressure group. It was set up just over 2 years ago to draw attention to the housing crisis in the Gaeltacht. I met with the spokesperson for the group, Dunica O'Halaha, who says the longevity of the Gaeltacht is being eroded due to the shortage of housing.
The next generation of parents are effectively being moved out of the area, or are forced to move out of the area. They don't want to move out, but they're being forced to move out of the area because of the lack of housing.
People will be well aware that there's a shortage of housing in every village, town, city across the country, but could you explain how a lack of availability affects the fabric of a Gaeltacht then?
There are plenty of schemes available from the Department of Housing and through the local authorities, but unfortunately, in the Gaeltacht areas, they're rural areas, and they're also rural rural areas without many villages. And partly that's because of historical reasons. A lot of the schemes that are available from the Department of Housing are only available for use in designated villages with sewage schemes, etc. So there's a bit of joined up thinking needed here between the Department of Housing, between the various county councils in Gaeltacht areas, between the Department of Gaeltacht and the various communities. There's a lot of community co-ops that would love to get involved.
How much of a factor would the short-term lets be? And do locals want changes in policy there?
Certainly there's a need for a change in policy with regard to short-term lets. The thing is completely out of balance. We're not completely against short-term lets. Short-term lets are needed, particularly in tourist areas, and a lot of the Gaeltacht areas are tourist areas. But the thing has gone completely out of balance. For example, in our area in Connemara, it's something in the region of about 50 to 1. The number of short-term lets is 50 times greater than the number of long-term lets. That's crazy. There's no point in asking Udras na Gaeltacht to provide and create employment in the Gaeltacht areas if the people who are employed there can't be kept living in it.
Would the group like to see some commitments or some pledges from the candidates in the by-election here if they were to be elected to secure your vote?
We have been canvassing the various candidates, and we've sent them a questionnaire, and most of them have replied to that questionnaire. We need some pressure to be put on the various departments to provide houses, service sites, etc. The young people who are affected most by this are the ones in the late 20s, early 30s who want to settle down, raise a family through Irish in the Gaeltacht. Because they're not being allowed to do that, or because it's so difficult for them to do that, that is really affecting the long-term prospects of the language as a living, organic community language. And that's what we're really concerned about.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Okay, Donica O'Halaha there from the Gaeltacht Housing Campaign Group, Bonu. What other local issues did you find while you were there, Josh?
So Shane, look, we've covered many stories in relation to healthcare on this programme, and it's understandable that every single person listening would like their own local hospital to be up to the best standard it can possibly be. We've heard about the long waiting list, the trolleys, staff crisis, but in this constituency lies University Hospital Galway. Waiting list figures from last year show the hospital had the longest waiting lists in the country. Now there is good news, a redevelopment plan has been reached and that is expected to bring 300 new beds to the hospital, but many locals they're worried, I suppose, about the timing and how long this will take. So a campaign has been set up, the University Hospital Galway Infrastructure Crisis Campaign, and what it's doing is really trying to put pressure on around this by-election so that the project is treated with urgency and is prioritised by whoever gets elected. What campaigners want to see happen is that this project is categorised as critical infrastructure, so there are not long delays. It was brought up in the Dáil last week, and Ray O'Connor is the spokesperson for the UHG Infrastructure Crisis Campaign Group. Ray says it's not right that so many patients have to travel outside of Galway for treatment.
The conditions the actual hospital is operating in is just completely unacceptable from a modern healthcare point of view. Most of the buildings that are being used at the moment were built in the 1950s. We're the only Model 4 hospital in the country that doesn't even have a PET scanner. I got involved because, you know, I felt that it deserved a campaign, it deserved a voice, and nobody really was talking about it. Very little has happened except for, I suppose, the HSE put a group together. They have come up with a master plan. It's in place. It's a beautiful plan for the redevelopment of the entire campus. Everything is good in the plan, but I suppose we're really, really concerned that there's no sense of urgency whatsoever in developing this plan and pushing it forward.
Could you explain for listeners how these conditions and these issues affect patients and staff then?
Well, I suppose the staff are doing their absolute best. They're, through our campaign and our socials, we can see people are praising the staff very highly. They're working in extremely difficult conditions. People have told us some harrowing stories of, you know, missing the death of a loved one in the hospital because they couldn't get parking. You know, it's just, the stories are horrendous. It's just not fair. It's not fair in patients. It's not fair in staff.
What can be done now? Like, what is the campaign calling for?
Well, I suppose if you look at the plan I have printed out here in front of us, yes. you can see the buildings. You can see the existing building. It's minuscule compared to the fabulous new block system. What they're talking about doing with the master plan is building it in blocks. First block is going to be built in the first phase, deliver 150 beds and move on to the next block. So it's done on a phased basis. It's very, very well thought out. But the problem that we have with the legislative planning infrastructure that we have in Ireland, this isn't going to see the light of day for many, many years.
What type of support is the campaign receiving from the election candidates now?
Galway has a lot of issues, and I know they get it on the doorsteps. Traffic, housing, you know, all the usual. The ring road was a big debacle in Galway, and it still is. Our campaign is getting traction now. People on the doors are calling the local representatives to do something about this, make sure it gets designated as critical infrastructure. So it's down to the general public, I suppose, to do your best and keep asking. We need to get this done. We don't want to be sitting here in 5 years' time still talking about design teams being appointed or little deflections like that. We really, really want this plan to get pushed on immediately.
So that's Ray O'Connor there, spokesperson for the University Hospital Galway Infrastructure Crisis Campaign. So we have housing, healthcare, and you can't talk about Galway without talking about traffic and transport.
You can, Shane. Whenever there's an election in Galway, transport and traffic features heavily on the agenda. Now, look, many listeners will be aware that last month the Galway City Ring Road was approved. This has been in discussion for over 20 years. So if you speak to the majority of motorists in the West, they are delighted to see this has finally been given the green light. However, there is also, I suppose you could call it maybe scepticism around how much of a relief it will bring to the city traffic, which is also leading to campaigns for increased and improved public transport. There have been renewed calls for a light rail system known as the Glewis, Galway Lewis, to be established. Many believe that the city is ideal for such a mode of transport. But when it comes to getting around on foot or on two wheels, campaigners want safer infrastructure, and commuters held hustings last month with the candidates about traffic in Galway. I met with the spokesperson for the Galway Cycling Campaign, Kevin Jennings, who says local representatives need to consider all road users in future projects.
People talk about, let's say, public transport. You have no option but to take the car for every trip, small trips, all these space that could be used for better purposes is used by roads, and each of these roads is infested by cars. Okay, there's very few bus gates, bus lanes. If you want an alternative to a car, it's really people who don't have a choice. If you look at the buses, they're overcrowded, but it's usually people who are waiting until they get a chance to get a car, who for medical reasons can't use a car.
So transport has long been an issue that comes up when we're talking about Galway, but how suitable is the road network? And you don't believe that the ring road will be a solution or improve?
The ring road is a political reality, okay? So nothing's going to happen until we get the ring road. And it could have been a stadium, or it could have been a swimming pool, or God knows what, but nothing's going to happen until that's built. But yeah, I guess most people in the campaign would believe that the problems with the transport is that there's no choices, and the hard decisions will need to be made at some stage. It's an easy decision to build a bridge, to build another road or whatever, to make more road space. What's hard is to give over existing road space to buses or to bikes, or to make it, just even to think that somebody might want to walk from here to the train station with a push and a buggy, rather than packing it all into the car and driving 600 metres.
What kind of level of support do you get from the candidates now when it comes to proposed public transport projects like the Glewis, or even for increased cycle lanes? Are you feeling support from the candidates in this by-election?
This time of year, Josh, we've absolute support from all the candidates there. They're all for public transport and all for changing how we get about. Now, some of them would say we need the ring road in order to do this, or we might not. We may or mightn't.
So you've cycled to meet me here today. You've your bike here with you. What's your message to those who come knocking on the door?
It's not about me cycling around the place. I kind of am used to it, but I can't make a lot of these trips with my children. The consequences of not taking action, of not tightening junctions, of not allowing continuous footpaths so that there's clear priority, of not insisting that trucks and vans and things have clear visibility from their cabins, of not being strict on these things here, it has real consequences for people. To put vulnerable people first, and I'm afraid we've just too many strong people in politics, and even amongst our candidates, and I have a lot of respect for them, it takes a lot of courage and all that, but it filters out vulnerable people from putting themselves forward to these positions.
Okay, that was the spokesperson for the Galway Cycling Campaign, Kevin Jennings there. Josh Crosby will be back with us tomorrow. He's going to be getting local reaction from Dublin Central ahead of Friday's by-election there.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.